This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
New week of the call-up, and we have as exciting of an interview as we're going to have this season, I think, because he's one of our favorites on the field and a recurring guest now. Coby Mayo joins the show, the Baltimore Orioles organization, and a guy that I think soon will be with the Baltimore Orioles if he keeps doing what he's doing. I mean, we've had him, you know, just looking at the last couple of weeks, man, we saw a stretch of four straight games with a home run. His OPS is over 1,000, and this is more the same that he did last year. So it was really fun to be able to talk to him and just hear a little bit about what he's doing this year and how he's handling that. Oh, I'm so close, but also, you know, I don't want to get too fixated on that and just keep playing ball.
Can I tell you, I love talking to gamers, and I'm not talking like video gamer. I like talking to hyper competitive people, and like, that's who he is. And you can just tell. And even watching this guy's facial expressions, if you turn on a Norfolk game, like any MILB TV telecast, you watch, you're gonna be like, wow, this dude's intense. I like this. And that is who Coby Mayo is, man. And he's still fun. Like, he can have a good time. But at the end of the day, like, he locks in better than really anybody in AAA baseball. And when he is locked in, it is a sight to behold.
He's a good balance of that confidence in terms of like, I can beat anybody on the field. And, you know, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm, you know, what I'm able to do. And I know that I can beat some of the best on the mound, but also still kind of being that soft spoken guy that, yeah, you almost don't expect it from. And then when he starts talking about baseball, it's like, I know how good I am. And you have to be that way, especially as a power hitter who's going to see some streakiness. He even talks about it, kind of just realizing how many offers he had last year and still had an unbelievably dominant season, realizing, hey, I can't just be hung up over every single offer. I think really just hearing the mental side from him too. I mean, remember, this is a 22-year-old who's already in his second stint of AAA and could have easily made the big league team right out of camp if the Orioles weren't so busy at the highest level. I mean, you can see why he's succeeding beyond the fact that he's 6'5 and crushes baseballs and has a ridiculously powerful swing. It's also the mentality and the makeup that have allowed him to continue to get better, but also allow him to, I think, just have that edge to him that you have to have as, you know, a power hitter who is going to get pitched very carefully to and who is going to be circled on a lot of lineup cards, which, you know, every time they play Norfolk right now in AAA, Coby Mayo is the guy you got circled on that lineup card.
100%. I think more so than Holiday right now. Yes. Since Jackson Holiday was optioned, I think he's hitting just under 200. Like, he's a .180. Mayo is the guy. And Mayo offers this blend of advanced approach, which you hear plenty about, and I'm the biggest guy on the field mentality, which in turn results in a lot of power. And that's why he is the minor league leader in homers as it stands right now. And I think he's the minor league hit leader as well. Him and Nick Gonzalez were kind of jostling back and forth. He is the rare blend of power and average that should make everybody drool. And we talk a lot about the comp to Austin Riley. Like, that at its peak is Austin Riley, right? Like, that is essence of Austin Riley, a guy that can hit 280 with 30 to 35 home runs. And that's why Coby Mayo is a top 20 prospect in the game.
100%. And also the improvements on defense are a big reason why, you know, he's a top 20 prospect in the game too. And that was a really fun wrinkle at the end of the conversation, just kind of talking about his progress there and, you know, how he was, I would say, I mean, he didn't say it outright, but I would say that he was fueled a little bit by people kind of doubting that he could stick there. Not that he wouldn't have worked his butt off and improved at third base anyways, but I think there was a, you know, hey, I can hear that. You know, I hear what people are saying, and because I'm a big dude, I'm not going to stick there. I think he was very keen on proving that sentiment wrong. And it seems like all indications are that he has done just that.
Can I tell you something to watch on YouTube is the defense conversation for sure. Just like watching his facial expressions through the defense conversation. Also, last thing I'll say, something if you are listening on audio, enjoy and go back and listen to our conversation about spring breakout. Go watch it via YouTube because his face when we bring up spring breakout and him not being able to see Paul Skeens in spring breakout was like something you have to see to believe. It was very funny.
It was such a good catch because, you know, we almost thought, okay, maybe at least I second guessed us a little bit when we talked about it after the game of like, oh, you know, maybe it was a little bit of projection. Maybe he was just like turning around and walking back in the dugout and we were kind of just, you know, putting thoughts into his head. But, you know, you did kind of see when he didn't get the chance to hit against him that there was that energy, but there was almost the voice in the back of my head that's like, ah, maybe we're just thinking that. And then nope, he definitely hit that home where he's like, no, I wanted to face the best. And I was really pissed that I didn't get a chance to. So it was a really cool back and forth there and a great catch by you when we were watching that game, you know, over in Bradenton and really cool for him to just kind of peel back the curtain and talk about it. Right. But without any further delay, we might as well just kick it right to him. Here's the interview with Orioles prospect Coby Mayo. Coby Mayo of the Baltimore Orioles organization, kind enough to come on the show two times now, so we got a recurring guest, and in the midst of what is a ridiculous start to the season for you, an OPS over 1,000, yet a stretch where you homered in four straight games. Thank you for taking a break from dominating to hop on the show. It's got to be amazing being so locked in at the start of the season like this, carrying from spring training.
Yeah, I was a little nervous coming into this year after a really good year last year. Just, you know, you always want to follow it up with another good year, and especially you want to start off hot. You know, you always want a chance to make the big league club. So obviously I just wanted to start off hot, and it's obviously been a nice start, first month of the season.
So I'm curious, like you say, it's always, you know, a little nerve wracking to come into a new season after you are so good the season before. And a lot of guys, when they have a great season, they'll say like, oh, I can just keep the good vibes rolling. They feel really good.
Yeah.
I think the forgotten thing is the offseason's really long. Like you probably spend 4 or 5 months just thinking about what you did last year. How did you kind of go about making sure that you were able to hit the ground running again, not just when you got to Norfolk, but like when you got to Sarasota ready to go for camp?
Yeah, I went into last offseason and I didn't want to take too much time off of hitting because I felt like what I had going was really nice last year. And especially like my routine with, you know, my workout routine, my eating habits, just everything. So I felt like when I got home, I kind of started working out within the first week, and then I took maybe a month and a half, 2 months off hitting. So that's kind of like that nerve-wracking feeling of like, I don't want to lose out on my good habits I had hitting, you know, some of my just like the feel you have. And it's hard when you're not getting live at bats and when you're only hitting really in a cage. But I made the most of it, and I watched a lot of video and tried to replicate kind of like what I was doing last year into my hitting this year, and, you know, taking videos and seeing some things I was doing different, trying to like, you know, relate to what I was doing last year. And it ended up being a good off season and felt really good going into spring training.
And just kind of building off of that, because you were kind enough to come on the show in the second half of last year, and we talked a lot about what you built on in double A, and getting healthy was a big part of it, but also finding some swing feels and some mechanical things as well. When you're coming off of a year where you're so successful, especially in the back half of the year and at the highest level you've played at, and the last one before the big leagues, how do you balance that from maybe not overworking yourself, as you said, in the off season, but still trying to stay tuned in on those cues and things like that? Or are you a guy that maybe goes through the moves without actually swinging a physical bat, or do you really need to be, you know, hitting the ball to kind of reinforce a lot of those muscle memory things?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. You want to like have a few things that helped you along the way that you can go back to and say, I want to do this a little bit in the off season, and to, because during the season it was successful for me. And then, yeah, like there are some things that, you know, a lot of med ball work, just a lot of like core training and T-spine stuff that kind of like was similar to like a swing, just a lot of those rotational movements. And then you get back into hitting and it's not super, you know, tough on your body. It's kind of just, you've been doing those rotational movements and your body, you know, swinging is a very violent move. It can take a lot on your body, but when you train that way and you're ready for those, you know, 8 months of swinging, you know, you have to get your body into good shape. So you are training a little bit for it. But yeah.
You get your bling yet? Did you get your championship ring? What's the word?
We did get it last 2 weeks, or not this past week, but the week before we were at home. We got it on Friday. Pretty sweet rings. Pretty nice. Really happy to get that.
I love that. That was as loaded of a team as we've seen, especially at the end of last year, right? When Holiday is on his way up, and you know, you've got all those guys, and you think about all the bats in that system as well. But I mean, now, dude, you're sharing a clubhouse with Povich and McDermott, and I'm curious how you see, you know, those guys kind of go about their days. But being a part of that team, we talked to McDermott a little bit about that during spring training, but what was that experience like at the end of last year, where it was like, hey, you know what? We feel like we have the best system in baseball. We feel like we are the cheat code in minor league baseball right now when it comes to rosters, and to see it actually happen. What was that like for you guys in Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, being on a team with so many like great guys, and then the great guys turn into really good players. It's awesome. You know, the prospects we had, and then we had some of like older AAA guys like Joey Crable and TJ McFarlane, you know, Kyle Dowd. A lot of the pitchers were like a little bit older than the hitters we had. And then we had like, you know, Lewin Diaz and Josh Lester, a lot of guys who were role players, but were phenomenal for us. And just a fun team. You know, like I said, Cade and Chase were unbelievable. And, you know, seeing Jackson come up and having success with us at the AAA level, and Norby, Couser, Stowers, it's just Joey Ortiz, just ridiculous. Stacked team. It kind of felt like if we didn't win, it was a loss for the season.
And some organizations, you know, really prioritize. I know the Rays are one of them in terms of like having your affiliates win and trying to encourage winning, you know, across each level. But of course, you know, every player is focused on individual development. You're focused on just getting better and getting to the big leagues, and that should be the focus. But how much did you feel like winning together with a core of guys that, you know, you feel very likely are going to be guys that you play with for a while in the show? Like, how much do you think that can help you down the line at the big league level and continue to build that chemistry and working together?
Yeah, I think it's extremely valuable. Learning how to win is something I've always been taught in high school and growing up. Like, you can have a really good team, but can you find a way to win games? And how do you do that? You know, you have to have good chemistry. You have to be able to play team baseball. And I think the Orioles have done a great job since day one with when Elias came in, on having instructs and all these mini camps in the off season, getting guys together early in the season, before spring training, a few weeks before, just like a little hitting camp in January, going into spring training, just to get guys together, guys familiar with each other, you know, guys go golfing, go out to eat, hang out a little bit. And, you know, you see Couser and Gunner in the big leagues with all of the Legos. And yeah, that's just, that stuff is contagious when those guys can go up and be so good, but also have a like good connection off the field. They can go hang out and play with Legos. I mean, I don't do it, but it works for them. So, but it's huge. They put us together. They want to make sure that when the time comes this year, last year, probably the next 6 years to come, that when the guys get together in the big leagues, it's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You stole my follow-up question. Have you ever dabbled in the Lego department? Like, you never tried putting a piece on the Millennium Falcon, nothing like that?
No, I think I played with Legos with my mom once when I was probably 10 years old. I think she bought me like a Lego thing for Christmas. And I think we built it and I said, I'm never doing this again.
So that's me with puzzles. So I can really appreciate that. You guys were the story at the beginning of the minor league season. I mean, it was 20 run game and then 10 run game and then 15 run game. Obviously, offense can be contagious, but just how infectious was that onslaught for 2 weeks? Like, it was the first weekend, then you guys go to Charlotte and it is a constant barrage. Seeing what Heston was doing and seeing what Stowers was doing, everybody, man. What was that vibe like for the two and a half weeks where you guys were pretty much having like an out of body experience?
Yeah, it's those 2 weeks. It was different. We left spring training. Obviously, the five of us didn't make the team. And there's a little bit of like saltiness because we all did really well in spring training and we all felt like, hey, we deserve to be on a major league team, but not yet. It's going to happen. We just have to go to AAA and dominate. We're going to have fun. The five of us kind of like, after we were done being a little salty, like laughed it off and said like, hey, we're going to go have fun in AAA and just have a blast. And that's what we did. We got there and we, you know, we're joking around. We were all hanging out together. And that first game, I think it was Jackson started off with a homer and then a Norby hit. And then I got it. Then Heston got a hit. Then I got a hit and Stowers got hit by a pitch. And before you know, he looked up, it was the first inning. It's like 6-0, 5-0. And we're just like, this is the start of a crazy run we're going to have. And then we went to Charlotte, like you said, and just 10 runs, first innings, 26 runs. And then Jackson gets called up and it's the vibes changed a little bit. And, you know, it's, we went through a little struggle and I think it's just the fun kind of like wore off a little bit of, hey, we're going to go crush AAA and get up to the big leagues. And then we crushed AAA for the first few weeks. And then it's like, oh, you know,
not yet.
Yeah, not yet. So yeah. Then we go back to Norfolk where it's not a good place to hit. Yeah. So it's just the ups and downs of baseball.
Going through something like that is interesting because it's very rare that a team has several players in the same position where it's, oh man, he needs to be in the big leagues right now. There's no point. There's nothing left to prove in AAA. Get him up there. Usually it's one, maybe two guys because it's insane to have that much talent. If you have that much talent in the minor leagues, your big league team's probably not that good. Right. So just kind of building off of, again, the camaraderie side of things, like it's funny when you look at the game logs and everything. I mean, what you did in spring training, you hit like 360, right? With an OPS over 1,000. What else can you do in big league spring training? But then, as you mentioned, you're kind of in it together with other guys that really performed. And you came out and you all performed together. Did that make it a bit easier just knowing that like you weren't the only guy that probably would be playing in the big leagues on a lot of other big league teams right now, but, you know, just are kind of a victim of circumstance, which is a great circumstance for an organization, but, you know, not the best for guys that are eager to make that big league debut.
Yeah. I actually talked about it with our manager and some of the guys. Like I said, this would have really sucked if it was one or two of us here and, but there's five of us and it makes it a lot easier to go about your business when you have four other guys around you who are in the same situation as you. And then you can lean on somebody and kind of like understand what they're going through. And then, like I said, we shook it off and said, we're just going to go have a ball here. Like we're going to go and do our thing in AAA. So yeah, it does make it a little easier when there's more guys around you. Just a crazy situation to be a part of.
Yeah. I love that you brought up the spring training thing because you guys were all killing spring training. And we got down to Bradenton for spring breakout.
Yeah.
And there was a look on your face when you didn't get to see Skeens that I wanted to ask you about. And you're smiling now. And we looked over to the on deck circle and, you know, I've gotten to watch Skeens now for the last month and a half or so. And we got to talk to him. You know, he is as ridiculous as they come at this level. And the look on your face when I think the final guy popped out to end the inning was like, damn, I wanted that bad. Mm-hmm. What kind of energy do you feel like you radiate there? Do you want the best? Do you want to like really see how you stack up against the elite of the elite?
Yeah, here's the thing. So he started versus us in the big league game in spring training. I was batting fifth that game or sixth, and he only pitched one inning or two. I think I was in seventh, and he pitched two innings.
Okay.
He won 1-2-3, 1-2-3, got taken out in the third. So we went into that game and I was like, I better face him because I don't know if he's throwing one inning or two innings. And then they said he's only throwing one inning. And I think it was Jackson led off and Enrique then Norby. And I said, Enrique, Jackson and Norby, you guys, one of you guys better get on base because I'm facing him. Like I was telling my girlfriend, I said, I have to face him. Like, I didn't face him the first time. I better face him this time. And I just knew that I wasn't going to be able to face him. And I was so bummed out because, yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to face the best. That's why I'm such a competitor that I don't care if I struck out on three pitches. I know I wouldn't. I like the high velo. I feel like I'm made for those situations. And I was so bummed out. And you, like you said, you saw it on my face. I just want to compete and I want to go into that box and say, bring your best stuff. Like throw 102. Like you're not going to blow by me. And I didn't get to face him. I'll face him eventually, yeah. But it wasn't that time yet.
It just shows you like the levels to this from a mentality standpoint too. Like I can even think back to like high school. I'm on deck and like I know it's probably the guy's last inning. If he's throwing fuzz, I'm like, please get this guy out in front of me and I'll see somebody else later. Like but that's the mentality that you have to be successful at the highest level. And I think that's why you've been so successful through big league spring training and then even maybe a little bit last year. Did you have one of those moments? It's not going to be the same as Skeens because of the fanfare and the 1-1 pick and things like that. But did you have a moment where you got to face a guy that, you know, you really wanted to challenge yourself with? And, you know, how did that go for you?
Yeah, I feel like every time I faced a big name like Rich Hill last year, I was obviously it was my first year in big league camp and I faced Rich Hill and my brothers are like, oh, my gosh, Rich Hill, like. He's a really, really big leaguer. And I hit two doubles off of him. And then like this year, I think I faced Wheeler in Philadelphia or in Clearwater. And like, I was just like, bring me it. Like I watched him on TV shoving in the playoffs. And then, you know, I get 2-0 count and I hit a ball like 104 at 24 to backside that gets caught by Pache. And I'm like, of course, Clearwater flies. And of course, the one day I'm there, it's blowing in. Face Strider. I think I struck out and hit a ball like 109 out. And then I'm trying to think who else. Eflin from Tampa, I faced him. I think I went 1-for-2 or 2-for-3 off of Eflin. Just like you want, there's a big name, but I've seen all the stuff. I've seen everyone's best stuff. It's just having the mentality of that you're going to be the better. Like you're going to win that outcome more times than not. You have to have that confidence in yourself.
I'm curious how much baseball you're watching when you're away from the ballpark. Like, are you getting up, turning on MLB Network, watching condensed games? Are you a guy that is constantly ingesting the game when you're away from the ballpark? Because, you know, like hearing what you're saying about all these guys, like, I feel like you're the type to go home and turn on the West Coast game. And it's like, chances are you're watching a Yamamoto start, or are you the type that really wants to shut it down after the fact and then, you know, go to the ballpark and do your homework there?
Yeah, it's, I like watching baseball if it's somebody I know. Like, I will watch every Orioles game I can if I'm not playing, as in like a Monday, or they're playing an early game, or like we finish a game and they're playing after. I'll stay at the clubhouse after and watch the game. Or if like Jesus Luzardo's pitching, because I'm really close with him. So I'll watch like every Jesus start. And then like playoffs I'll watch, but like I won't go home and watch like a Sunday night baseball game just to watch it. Like too much baseball is like too much information, and sometimes too much information is not good for your brain. So I like to watch, I mean, of course I have to watch the Orioles because at any given moment I could be a part of that. So you kind of want to like watch your teammates and see how they're doing. And then watching people, you know, is obviously really cool because this is a game we've all dreamed of playing, and just a really cool thing when you get to watch someone, you know, in the major leagues.
What are some ways that you decompress a little bit, you know, just to, hey, I'm been a little bit overloaded with baseball. This is a way for me to kind of get away. I know Jesus likes to golf. I know that's a popular baseball getaway, but it's a little bit easier for pitchers. What's kind of your unplug?
There's a few in the off season. Like I said, video, obviously I play video games, go out and golf, not very good, but it just brings me away from the field a little bit. Watch YouTube videos, talk to my girlfriend. Just, you try to do things that, I mean, I won't get on the phone with her and talk baseball all the time. So it's, it's nice to just not talk about baseball all the time. Sometimes when you're going good, you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's nice when you're going good, but, yeah, just certain little things like that. I turn on some YouTube golf and, we'll watch that and watch some streamers and Sketch and Jinxie and that good stuff.
So you're into like the What's Up Brother thing. Have you done it for a double yet or no?
That's my, if you look at my home runs, that's what I do with my third base coach.
Good. Okay. You do the What's Up Brother thing. Good on you, man.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how have the highs and lows changed? Cause obviously you know, you're talking about perspective and like, you know, when things may not be going, you know, all according to plan, you don't want to get on FaceTime with your girlfriend and start talking about baseball, right?
Yeah.
How have the highs of, oh, damn, I have a multi-homer game, have those almost like lowered and the lows of a rough game and Ofer kind of elevated? I feel like that is kind of the next echelon of kind of becoming who you are as a professional baseball player, right?
Yeah. So I try to look at it as if like last year I had a really good season. But then I look back to it and I'm like, I had a lot of Ofer games. So like, am I going to let a few Ofer games affect me or affect my mood for the rest of the night when I still had a great year last year? And I can count multiple times where I had Ofer fives, Ofer fives, Ofer fives, 4K games. And then you look up and you're 290 with 970 plus OPS with 29 home runs. And I'm like, gosh, I got so mad over those games. And I still look back and I had a good season. And like right now, like this past week, like you said, I had a 4-homer streak. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're 0 for your last 12 with, you know, 5 or 6 strikeouts. And then you're like, gosh, I'm still hitting 300 plus with 1,000 OPS, like leading like AAA baseball and home runs. Like, so like you have to put stuff into perspective sometimes, but the competitive nature of baseball and how much there's ups and downs is just, you know, it's tough to let things get by you because you throw so many at bats away and it's just, it's a bad feeling.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
As a big power guy, you know, and of course, just longer levers doing damage the way you're able to do it. It's always going to be a matter of just right. Like, how often are you hitting it? And that's been the thing that's been so amazing for you in the upper levels is, you know, now you've bridged to the power being plus plus. And like you said, leading AAA, but then also, you know, making much more contact and hitting for average the way you've been able to also just kind of going back to the you mentioned some of the offers and sometimes where the strikeouts can bunch up. But then when you're hot, I mean, there's no stopping you. What are the differences for you when you're, you know, really feeling it? And then, you know, maybe when you might be swinging and missing a little bit more, is it a timing thing? And is it approach getting away from you, mechanics? Like what's the good Kobe Mayo look like? And what's maybe the slump in a little bit difference? Yeah, for you?
It's I think that when I'm going great and it's very easy to like say this, but like leaving the bad pitches and not swinging at them and really just honing in on the middle of the zone, the places I do damage and taking advantage when the pitches are in the zone. I'm being really soft on my front side, not like very jumpy. Sometimes I get a little bit jumpy. My eyes start moving and throws me off a little bit. And sometimes I'm trying to do a little bit too much. So I start swinging at more stuff. And then you get in your head a little bit, like he's not throwing me strikes, be a little bit more patient. And then you take fastballs over the plate. So it's a little cat and mouse game. The you know, the hitting coaches will always say, you know, we're looking at data on them, on the pitchers, and they're looking at stuff on you. So the more you do well, the more they're going to try to attack your holes. And you just have to really stick to your approach and be patient. And you know, you look at Aaron Judge when in 2022, he hit 62 home runs and felt like he wasn't swinging at anything. Yeah. And right now, it kind of seems like he's opening up his zone a little bit, swinging out a little bit more. And I'm sure he's trying to get back to what he was doing then. And I'm sure the pitchers right now are going to keep attacking him how they are until he wants to make the adjustment. It's just a little cat and mouse game. You're trying to get the little edge on them and they're trying to get an edge on you.
Speaking to that, sorry, Jack, just one quick follow-up. Have you noticed any, I was looking at the pitch data. It doesn't seem like anything too different from a usage standpoint, but of course you could probably look at the locations and things that could be totally different. Have you seen any difference in the way that pitchers are maybe attacking you or not, or just the way that they're pitching to you? Because again, you have almost full season now of AAA success. You're doing it again. Like you're one of the guys that they're game planning for. Have you seen any difference in the way that you're being pitched to?
Yeah. I mean, So there are some teams who will do stuff differently. Like the Marlins are known for their lefty going up and in, and then they'll go down and away with their changeups. And then like certain teams will just look at your cold spots and try to attack it. They'll go, you know, try to go sinkers in, and then they'll go, shoot, let's get a homer sinker in. Like that was his cold zone. And then you kind of have to just like, all right, let's go out. And then it's just, you're trying to find something. Like I have a bat at bat and I chase down. Okay, well, we're going to attack them down. So there are teams that will do the same thing over and over and over. And then there will teams who will just look at your in-game at bats and how your week's going and just try to attack that as long as you can. Sometimes teams will go down on me and then I hit a few home runs and they try to go up. It's just, you're just, like I said, cat and mouse. They're trying to find a little hole, get you out here and there. And sometimes they're trying to pitch around you. And before you know it, you get yourself out. Yeah.
Who helps you with the minutia on a day by day? That was kind of where I was going to go with this. Like how much of it is internal where you sit down with an iPad and you're watching, you've got hitting coaches or coordinators, whoever may be in the clubhouse that week talking to you there. And how much of it is like, hey, I've got Stauer sitting next to me and he got pitched in a similar way. Like, you know, what's going on there? Like how much of it is teammates, coaches, you yourself making those adjustments?
Yeah. So I don't watch a lot of video. The only time I'll watch video is if it's good video. I think watching bad video is just you're watching yourself do bad, and it's not anything that's going to help you. You're just watching, you're watching failure. So I try to watch good video. And then, really the only coach that really I talk to deeply into hitting is, our hitting coordinator, who was my Bowie hitting coach last year, Sherman Johnson.
Nice.
You know, if I have a few bad games, I'll text him and just be like, "Hey, do you see anything?" And then really all he'll say is, you know, make sure you're seeing pitches up in the zone. Swing looks good. You know, make sure you're not drifting too far back. You're getting into your back leg a little bit, but not into your quad. So be more glute, less quad. And that helps me kind of stay more relaxed. My agent also will text me and just little things he sees. But I'm not a big, like, mechanical – I don't change my swing up a lot. I don't dive deep into bad games because, like I said, bad games are going to happen. So
the one thing that stands out, one of the last questions I'll ask you on the hitting side too, is just that you're able to elevate so consistently. And there's that move in your hand load that, you know, I think some people will point towards and be like, "Oh, that's unique," but it's also something that you repeat really well. It's always early, and you're always on plane as early as anyone pretty much in the minor leagues. Is that something that, you know, has always kind of been there for you, those pre-swing moves and the uniqueness to it? And, you know, is that something that just kind of makes you feel like you can get on plane earlier and elevate consistently?
Yeah, I think when I was coming up to the minor leagues early in 2021, when I was hurt, kind of rehabbing, we had a few hitting coaches that would try to make my move. I was a little bit flatter earlier on, and they obviously 6'5", 225 pounds. They wanted more balls in the air. So we did some drills. I don't even really remember the drills we would do, but just like drills that would help ball flight, you know, having a target in the cage, really putting it on the target and trying to hit the target as many times as I can in a row. Pitches that were up, down, in, out, just trying to keep the ball elevated. And naturally, I always had a really decent move with the inside pitch of like elevating balls and getting the balls in. But it was more, how can we elevate balls, you know, oppo. And we did a lot of angle work. And like you said, a little move in my hands that came kind of after the 2022 season. To be honest with you, I don't even know how it kind of came about. I think I was just hitting one day in the offseason, and just like I've seen guys kind of like have this little move with their hands. And I talked to you last year a little bit about the angle of my bat, and it felt good. And I was like, all right, this is good. And then last year, at the start of the season, slowly started getting more and more vertical as the swing got into like the firing position. And yeah. And now it's kind of like what's helped me get balls in the air and have the ball flight that I am having right now.
Love that. I know we're going to get into kind of like live ABs real quick to wrap, but before that, defensively, it looks like you're playing first, like what, once a week or so?
I think
it's like 27 starts at third and then 6 starts at first.
Yeah.
What's the comfort level at first for you? And then, you know, at third base too, this can kind of be a separate question all on its own too, but like what improvements are you trying to make at third base? But let's start with first. How do you feel there? And, you know, is that something that you feel like you can handle comfortably at the AAA, you know, even big league level if the situation demands it?
Yeah. I mean, last year I was playing first a lot more towards the end of the season, AAA. But this year the big club has kind of told me that they want me really at third, focusing at third. First is obviously easier to play than third. So it's an easier, move to go from third to first.
For sure.
But I feel good over there. I just think consistency and like seeing, you know, the balls over there, and obviously it's a little different with lefties and righties and how the ball comes out the bat a little bit with the slices and whatnot. But I feel good over there. And I think last year at the end of the year is where I felt my best at first. I think I'm still trying to get back to I think I feel good right there right now. I think I just felt more comfortable there last year just at the end because I got a lot of repetition over there.
Got you.
And then at third base, you know, that's it's an area where it's just been amazing to see how comfortable you are there and the rocket for an arm, the way you talked about it when we had you on last, just footwork and all the little fundamental things that you've worked on at third that have really shined through when you watch the ball games. Where do you feel like you're at now since even the last time we spoke? And, you know, I know at this point, you know, there's probably not that much that you're going to change. It's probably just rehashing a lot of the same things that you felt like you kind of found last year. But have there been certain areas where, you know, maybe you've surprised yourself a little bit, or, you know, you just feel really good about where you've come on the defensive side?
Yeah, I think from the last time we talked last year, I'm probably 20 times better this right now than last year.
Oh, wow.
I think that I put in a lot of good work when I left AA last year and got to AAA. A lot of good work was in AA, got to AAA, and got even better. Just like I said, repetition and going over like the little things that'll help me out at third, and you know, the little things turn into big things you get into the game. But yeah, put in work in the off season. Like I said, movement, first steps, and the biggest thing I talked about all spring training was kind of like my arm angle and getting better, like true flight on the ball, and just. There's been a lot of, I got home in the off season, and I think like I told you, I waited a week to work out. I think I started going to my high school like a week or two after and started taking ground balls and throwing, and, really didn't stop until I got to spring training until I left, that I was going to my high school almost every single day when they were there. So I knew that the team wanted me to put in a lot of work just because playing third is very valuable for a big league club. And, I wanted to offer them that I could be the third baseman, and they were really happy with the progress that I made.
It seems like you're really proud of the work too. Like it takes a lot for somebody to be like, I think I'm way better now than I was at this point last year when we talked last year, but it's clear that like you put in the hours and you put in the effort to get better at something, and you've seen the tangible improvement there to getting better at it. It's really cool to hear from you.
Yeah, I think kind of like my whole life, it's easy just for people to say, oh, he's big, he won't stick at third. He's going to outgrow third, going to play first, maybe corner outfield. And yeah, it's easy to say, people see it, and then it's copy and paste. But then you really have to go out and preach to them that you can play third base. And then all of a sudden you get to big league camp and people are seeing it, and you know, our big league manager is talking about it, and our infield coach is talking about it. And then people are trying to talk to you about your defense. You're making great plays in the game. And then the narrative starts changing a little bit and you're like, yeah, I know I could play third. But people just copy and paste, and it's easy for them just to say that because I'm a big kid. But, yeah, so I am proud of the work I put in because it's been a long time that people just doubted that.
I love that.
I love the copy paste point, because even going back to the last conversation we had, like you kind of called your shot a little bit too. But I was saying, like, we've seen you improve already defensively. Like, where do you think you could be? And I remember you saying, like, I think I could continue to get a lot better. Yeah. And that's the aspect I think that kind of gets overlooked a lot of times in this whole process is how hard of a worker is the individual that you're assessing? And also, you know, what does he already have going for him? And I think both of those things, between what you've already been able to show and then also the work ethic, I think it's more than clear that you can play a really good third base. And it's been cool to see now the highlight reel plays and things like that, you know, during spring training as well. I think it's a perfect time to jump into some of your recent at-bats. And actually, we don't have to go too far. Your memory was great last time we did this, but, you know, I think this is as easy of an AB to remember as it was, I think, what, yesterday for you? Absolute battle with Robert Gasser. So I'm just going to play it and, you know, just feel free to kind of chime in and share whatever your thoughts are. I don't know if you faced Gasser in the past, but I mean, he's obviously funky and he can come at you with like a lot of different angles and movement.
Yeah. So I faced him on this Tuesday. He pitched Tuesday, Sunday. He threw me a lot of fastballs down in the zone, change ups off of that. And, his best two pitches are really cutter and a slider. And I was waiting on one of them on Tuesday, never threw it. I don't think he wanted to throw me anything coming into me, trying to keep everything away from me. So I came into this at bat like, okay, I'm going to look for balls middle away, middle down, or like middle up, just like in that quadrant. And, you know, he kind of attacked me completely different, throwing me cutters, sliders, fastballs up, changeups away, kind of like threw the whole kitchen sink at me. And it's one of those at bats where you're just looking in one spot and you feel like you're not going to throw anything past me. That pitch was a strike. I'm lucky he didn't challenge that one. But four seam up and away, had a little bit of ride on it. I was trying to get on top of it, but he has so many pitches that are moving up, down, side to side. And then he hung me a little change up there and saw it well enough just to get out in front of it a little bit and keep it fair. I think it was a 10 pitch at bat. So yep. I was really happy with the battle there. It's a tough at bat. He's a good pitcher. He's a little funky, and I was just happy to put something in play and get it fair.
Does his stuff kind of jump on you a little bit more than you would expect? Because he's got that kind of weird, like, it's not a slingshot delivery, but he holds it like really close to his ear, and it feels like he gets far down on the hill, a little bit farther than most. I feel like that could, I don't know, almost sneak up on you a little bit.
A little bit. One thing about how I am as a hitter is fastball velo doesn't really bother me. So I could look off speed and still hit a fastball in the zone. But yeah, for a lefty, he's a little smaller on the mound.
Yeah.
And he throws from like a lower slot, and then his fastballs at the top of the zone have a lot of like upshoot on it. So yeah, it can get on you. Yeah. He wanted to challenge that.
Yeah.
I'm lucky with it. But yeah, tough at bat, first at bat of the game. Just hung that change up. I don't think he wanted that there.
But that's what I was going to ask you, because what was amazing to me and why I picked this at bat was the way you're able to cover so much, whether it was, you know, that cutter in on your hands, 94 elevated, it's softer stuff down, softer stuff away, and then ultimately the double, which was a hanging changeup. But still, I mean, guys will get away with that after running a cutter in on your hands and elevating 94, as you mentioned, with that upshoot. So you're saying really the reason why you feel like you have this coverage of different zones and different speeds is that you are unique in the respect that you don't have to sit fastball and adjust. You can sit secondary and still react in time for fastball. Like that seems to be pretty rare.
Yeah. It's something that I kind of figured out last year when I get a lot of sliders, and I would just be like, all right, I'm going to look for the slider here. And I throw a fastball and then I hit a home run. I'm like, gosh, I can look slider and hit a fastball. Where a lot of people can't, and sometimes I still can't. It's still really tricky to, like, you're looking for a spin in a certain spot and all of a sudden they're throwing 95 by you. So it's kind of like you have to pick and choose. Off lefties, recently I've been seeing them better, and I can just kind of look in a zone, kind of just stay on it to the middle of the field. If I'm a little late, it's going to go to right center. If I'm a little early, it's going to go to left center. It's kind of like a confidence thing you build a little bit, and just helps you a little bit off a lefty.
An OPS of 1100, over 1100 against 93 plus since the start of 2023 will help you build some confidence, I think, in that regard too. Yeah, there you go. I have a couple more home runs here that I wanted to go over with you, because this came in the same game against a guy, Will Warren, in the Yankee system, who's been throwing well, and another guy that can just come at you with a lot of different movement types and, you know, really kind of lately has been able to put it where he wants. You take him deep twice, and again, I'll just kind of play it and we can go from there. But what I loved about this one was that, you know, he got ahead of you 0-2.
Yeah, he throws. So I faced him multiple times in the past from high A and double A. Throws a pretty big sinker. So I'm kind of splitting the zone in half. I want to look away for a sinker, come back over the plate, and then trying to look in with anything soft with a slider, because it's a big sweeper, big two seam coming back. I think I was sitting slider.
So you just reacted to that one, right? Because I ended up kind of running harder and kind of in between the two spots that you were saying, right?
Yeah. So he's somebody that really throws two pitches. He has four. He has a four seam and a cutter. but he doesn't really throw a four seam or the cutter often. It's kind of just like a show me pitch. And I think I was looking for a fastball here and I kind of just hung up and he missed the spot and just put a decent swing on it and got it in the air and got over the fence. But yeah, he's a tricky at bat because he just big sinker, big sweeper, little cutter, four seam. And you know, it'll probably be just a sinker in the slider, but yeah, right here.
There we go. Yeah, there. So what's up? Yeah, that's perfect. Like, I think that was exactly what I wanted to lead into is how you're able to, even when you're not really sitting for that pitch and still kind of reacting, get it up and get it out of there. Are backup sliders or backup cutters like that, are those hard? I mean, again, it probably ties into you're probably better than most people with them, but is it difficult at times just because of what you're expecting it to do and what it ends up doing to still be able to get those hands in and barrel it?
Yeah, it is tough sometimes because you're expecting a little bit more sweep on it. Cause like he's somebody who throws his sweeper like negative 18 inches. So you're expecting it to just cover the whole plate. And when it kind of backs up and there's not the ball just kind of like you said, backs up, it stops sweeping. It kind of throws you off a little bit. But so that this at bat, I was definitely sitting slider.
Got you.
I remember this pitch, I sat slider. And then
it was a sinker that runs in, you know, under your hands, you take for a ball.
And I was still sitting slider. And then I go, okay, I'm still going to look for a slider here.
Even 2-0, you're looking slider.
Looking slider 2-0. Fastball. Yep. And then I go, all right, I'm going to look for the slider again, ball. And I go, okay, 3-1. He's probably going to challenge me. I'm going to go back to the sinker here and then throws me a sweeper. Just stayed up and I saw it.
It didn't even stay up that much though, right?
This pitch was black away.
So this is what you were saying you worked on kind of last year, right? Just being able to elevate these pitches.
Yeah, like covering it. Like they always say, like, you don't have to hit the outside pitch to right field. You just have to cover it. Like if you can cover the pitch away, you're fine. And just like covering that pitch, it starts middle in, and I just saw it up and thought I could take a good swing at it. And I know I have strength, and if I can hit the ball on the barrel, it's going to go.
I'd love that. Well, the last question, I guess, for me is what's the difference on a pitch in that location mechanically for you between a rollover to third and a home run like that? Because I think for a lot of guys, that ends up being a rollover. What allows you to be able to elevate that pitch?
I think it's my body posture and my barrel, like the angle of my barrel when it kind of like meets the ball. I'm not just like fighting that pitch off. Like I'm actually looking to elevate that ball. Like I'm not weak giving up on it. I'm kind of like staying on it. There's a difference between staying on it and really just hitting it. And I was able to stay on that pitch and really go with my body and not like dive too deep under it, like staying more upright and getting my barrel to a good position on the ball.
Well, I mean, that's going to buy you a lot more extra base hits, I think, than most other hitters if you're able to do that with pitches in that spot. But we've taken enough of your time. Thank you so much for hanging on extra for these, live breakdowns and just spending so much time talking about your season so far. And we're really excited about, what you have ahead of you and just what you've already been able to do this season in AAA.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's always fun talking to you guys, and I had a blast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.